for me, it feels a bit more like a meditative state. And it takes me there, I would say, every single time. It doesn't matter how busy my mind is. And I have done yoga nidra when I've been extremely anxious. Welcome back to the Life in Yoga podcast.
Welcome back, people. So today's episode... Today's episode is about yoga nidra. We thought we would do this last week, but here we are. So we wanted to talk to you guys about yoga nidra, our experiences, and what it is, how we do it, and all about that.
So we're going to summarize a lot of the points of it so that we explain exactly what it is and other people's experiences as well, because we did have a few people write to us to share their either experiences or forgot the other thing that
there were some questions as well.
Yeah, there were some questions. Okay, so let's begin with, actually, I've never heard this before, so this is news to me as well. What's your first experience of practicing, not teaching, practicing yoga nidra?
Yeah, that was in Rishikesh around 2016-17, something around that time, and it was in a teacher training. One of the students was teaching yoga nidra as a part of her teaching practice, so it was not the main teacher teaching yoga nidra. And she guided us through like relaxation, body awareness and all that. And by that time, I fell asleep. And I think everybody else, they finished the practice. Everybody got up. I was still sleeping. And then the person who was guiding the yoga nidra, she just put a singing bowl next to my head and bang it to wake me up. Because she tried to wake me up twice by shaking my hand or something. I still was very very asleep.
Yeah, sometimes you sleep like you're dead to the world.
Yeah, that's how asleep I was, so it sort of helped me relax so much. But after that, I was talking to the main teacher and she did say that it's okay if we fall asleep. I mean, you should not, but the main point is that if your body really needs that rest, really needs to just shut down and sort of sleep, then it happens. So that was my first experience of yoga nidra, me just falling asleep.
So what's your first experience of doing yoga nidra? Well, or not even first experience, what's your kind of best experience maybe of doing yoga nidra as a student?
I still remember it clearly as to this day, exactly how I felt. This was in Goa, and there was this philosophy teacher who had been working in Bihar School of Yoga for and lived there for 20 years. And he was guiding this yoga nidra in the school, and it was like 50-60 people in the room. And he has a really, really good yoga nidra voice. And like, he's stern in his voice, but he has a very calming way of talking. And he guided us through the practice, and I was awake most of the time. Most of the time, actually 99% of the time, I was following exactly what he was saying. He was guiding us through different relaxations in the body, different sensations, different sort of visualizations. And I still remember that I was able to experience all that in my body. And after that, I got out of the practice. When the practice finished, it was the most energizing thing, the most refreshing thing ever. I felt like I was still buzzing with a lot of energy after the practice. That was my best experience. What about you? When was your first ever yoga nidra as a student?
I'm not actually sure the first one, because when I don't even know what year it was, 2018, in Spain, I went to this studio not very often, and not for very long either, and it was English-led. And one week she did say that she was going to do something different, and now I look back, I think it was yoga nidra, but at the time I don't remember, because when you're new to, well, I wasn't new to yoga, but I was kind of new to concepts.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So if she'd have said yoga nidra, it would have gone in and out. Like, I don't think I would have really thought too much. But I remember, if I think back about it, then it probably was, because I don't know what else it could have been. You know, we laid in Shavasana the entire time, and I wasn't sure if I was asleep or awake. So I'm guessing that's probably what happened, unless I missed something. And, you know, I was doing what you did and was just laying there and everybody else was doing something else. But yeah, I think that might have been it. but I wouldn't be conscious if it was. And I have done it a second time that it was yoga nidra, but wasn't great.
Really?
The guidance, that's all I'll say.
Mm-hmm.
So then I suppose my first real time of doing yoga nidra was with you.
Really?
Yeah. And the first time, if I'm right in thinking, it was about halfway through the course. So I was doing 200 hours and our friend Sylvia was doing 300 hours. And she was actually the only person doing 300, wasn't she? So it was obviously a very small group. And I was feeling a bit, I can't remember why, maybe you remember more than me, but I remember feeling a little bit down. I think it's, you know, it was quite intense. And I think anybody who's doing has done 200 or 300 hours can probably relate that sometimes you might hit a bit of a spot where it might only last a few hours or a day or a couple of days, but you start to get a bit tired. And it can also be not just tired, but obviously if you're living yoga for a while and you haven't done that, because, you know, before you was doing whatever you was doing, there is no kind of, like, it's hard to kind of escape yourself. Because that's the whole point. You're meant to be with yourself. So when you're with yourself for 24 hours, and we were such a small group that you really were with yourself, weren't you, like, in that time? Or if you was with others, it was very limited others. So the energy was quite low, if you agree. Would you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
So anyway, and you invited me to come and do yoga nidra because you said, you know, I think it would be really good for you to do it. So I did it with you... No, if I go back as well, I also did it in a different way. But anyway, we'll just go with this story. And I was awake the entire time. It was when we was in, you know, that small room.
Now I remember. Yeah, I used to guide yoga nidra in this very small basement type room because...
It was dark.
Yeah, it was very dark and not super dark, but ideal place for yoga nidra, I would say.
It was that kind of room where, you know, when you walk in a room and it kind of has that very, I get this in temples and in buildings around temples.
Mm.
So parts of temples, I suppose you could say. You know, that kind of dull silence that's really relaxing.
Yeah, I get that too in temples. And I've been to some caves as well where yogis have meditated. So,
like the one you took me to in Rishikesh?
Yeah.
And you get it sometimes in massage rooms. And it's like this really dull... That sounds like a really bad word, but it's not. It's like a very dull silence, very relaxing, very soothing kind of feel. Anyway,
that sort of feels like you enter the room and you're already very calm.
Already meditative.
Yeah, exactly. It feels like you enter that room and all the noise, external noise, just stops and it's just you... in a very calm state. The room feels like it's there to help you become more and more relaxed. Yeah, that was a good room to practice yoga nidra, I would say.
Although, let's not glamorize it was not a good room.
No, I mean, aesthetically it was not good.
Anyway, and I think it was there and I didn't fall asleep, but then several times after that I did fall asleep. Probably due to the fact that I wasn't having as much sleep as usual because we were waking up at 5 a.m. But I think what was really strange as well is I was falling asleep, I would say, after the first 10 minutes, 15 minutes after the body awareness. Even I can probably pinpoint it to the left side. As soon as the left side starts, I started to go into sleep. But I would usually always wake up when you started to bring us back around.
Mm-hmm.
I would come back again at the very end of the visualization. So then I was awake for the last, like, 7 minutes, to be precise.
Yeah.
Around then. Anyway. So should we go on to how it's kind of brought around? Like, what is yoga nidra?
Okay, so, yeah, we can do that. Yoga nidra, the word yoga, I mean, yoga is... yoga, union, and nidra means sleep. In English, people usually refer to it as psychic sleep, basically. And if I explain it in much more simple terms, it is a sort of feeling where you are very relaxed, very calm, and it's a sort of feeling that you feel before going to bed. Like, you're about to fall asleep, but you're not asleep yet. That middle phase that is the kind of feeling that you get when you do yoga nidra, and it's meant to help you relax physically, mentally, emotionally, and it gives you, it's written in many, many books, and I've talked to other teachers as well. They say that doing 45 minutes of yoga nidra helps you, you know, really kind of get the energy that you would get from a 3 hour sleep, basically. So that's how powerful it is. It's usually guided. Like, it's very hard. It would be very hard to guide yourself through yoga nidra. So it's always better that somebody else is guiding you, or you're listening to a recording of guiding through yoga nidra. And it usually involves things like body stability, relaxation, and then what you do is you guide your awareness from every point of the body, and you just move your awareness throughout, and then after that you take it to your breath, then you take it into visualization as well. You can take it into different sensations, like feeling heavy within the body, feeling very light within the body, things like this, and visualizations, like visualize a mountain, imagine that you're walking on a path, you know, very clear visualizations where you're actually feeling like you are in a mountain place, and those sort of things. And it usually helps us to kind of bring about a meditative sort of state.
But to just go before that as well, so it's done laying down.
Yeah.
So you lay down in Shavasana, so you're completely on your back, legs spread out, like all of you is flat to the floor.
Yeah.
And this is why it's very easy to put a mix of practitioners in the class. So if you've never ever done yoga nidra before and you don't even know what that means, it doesn't mean you can't go. You'll be guided in every single way. You're not expected to know anything at all. You won't be asked to speak, to move, to do anything like that. So it's completely appropriate for somebody who's never ever done yoga before. You don't have to have done anything to do with yoga, anything to do with meditation. And also you can have done all of it. You could be a yoga teacher, you could be practicing every day, and you will still get the same benefits as somebody who's never done it before, who's completely new to it. Of course, the more you practice, you might experience it differently, but that's your own individual experience as well. So anybody can do this. It's not physical, it's not demanding. You can do it with any, from my understanding, without going into every single health
category
condition.
Yeah,
like anybody can do it, because you don't need to move.
Yeah, exactly. That's a very, very good point. Actually, I was thinking when you were talking that it is actually a really, really good practice for somebody who has never done anything to do with yoga. Like, that is a really, really good introduction to yoga, isn't it? Like, usually we go to do poses. When we think of yoga in general, we think of poses, or we think of breath work and all these kind of things. But this is actually a really, really good introduction to yoga, because you're straight going into something that doesn't require too much effort. Actually, it requires the least amount of effort. You just have to lay there and be still.
It's actually supposed to be effortless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So how great this is as an introduction into yoga, and then, you know, you can maintain that feeling. You, once you get to understand how you're meant to feel with yoga, you can take that into other practices as well. So I think this is really, really good. That was a very good point.
I think yoga nidra, between teachers, our friends, anybody that we know, practitioners, my students, your students, I think it's so underrated.
Yeah,
for me, it's one, I don't want to say favorite, because I love every single practice for different reasons, but it's, I want to say it's one of my favourites, or my favourite, because it's, for me, my experience in yoga nidra is different every time. But for me, it gets me more into a meditation or meditative state than guided meditation. Because it includes awareness, breath, body. It includes everything and takes you into that. For me, it's like you said, it's that place just before going to sleep. And I think physiologically it's meant to be, isn't it? It's when the body is asleep and the mind is
awake,
conscious.
Yeah.
Because awake might sound like it's been busy, and it's not.
Mm-mm.
For me, it feels a bit more like a meditative state. And it takes me there, I would say, every single time. It doesn't matter how busy my mind is. And I have done yoga nidra when I've been extremely anxious. That's, I don't know if we'll have time for that story, but that's probably what got me into yoga nidra. I've had times when my mind has been racing, it's been busy, I've got things to do, places to go. I feel like maybe I don't have time for this 45 minutes. So I have been in states where it's probably, a lot of people would say when they're like that, they don't want to do it because it's like the complete opposite of how they're feeling. So it feels like, oh, when I'm calm, I'll do it. Or when I'm not busy, I'll do it. But it's so good to do it in them times. It's so good. And my kind of feeling of it is a little bit like how I would describe meditation, because for me it's very, very similar. And it's this kind of state of being that is so difficult to tell if it's being conscious, unconscious or subconscious. Like, it's such a mix in the middle of everything. But because it's like that, it almost puts you in this state of mind where you just are. You're not really there. Like, in that moment, I'm not Rebecca, or I'm not a student, or I'm not a teacher, I'm not in the room. I'm just kind of existing. And anything around me, I'm aware that it's happening. Like, I can hear sounds, but I'm not scared. I'm not alert anymore, which is something that a lot of people that have anxiety, myself included, used to suffer with. I'd go outside, walk down the street. I'm alert, so I can hear everything twice as loud, feel everything twice as much. The senses are heightened. In yoga nidra, you know that they're happening. You can hear things, but you're not scared. You're still there. You're still being. You're just kind of curious, but not curious, because you're not thinking about it. It's just around. So it puts me in that kind of position where I'm just inside my body, and I almost feel my body different to how I do when I'm sat here now, because I'm busy. I'm not thinking about being inside of my body, if that makes any sense at all. And if it doesn't, good, because I don't want you to understand it unless you've done it, because you, how else would you achieve it? You're not going to achieve that feeling by walking down the street. So if it doesn't make any sense, then you should practice, because then it might make sense.
That's a very good point. That's a very good explanation of it as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, because if I think about yoga in its pure essence, that's exactly what it is. It's a feeling of just being. You're not thinking about who you are as a person, what your name is, what your body is, what your gender is, or whatever. You're not thinking about any of that. You're just observing.
You're just alive.
Yeah, you just are. There's no other attribute to it. You're just being there. That's exactly how it's meant to be. So I don't know if it gets any better than that. But there are other...
But I just want to say that it, just because I'm a teacher, and that's how most people will know me who listen to this, or a practitioner, it doesn't mean that I'm only having that experience because of that. Because that's not true. I had that experience when I didn't practice daily and I didn't teach at all. And I just feel like that's why yoga nidra is so underrated, because if I can tap into that quickly, it's like a massive shortcut. It's like a cheat. And I don't know why people wouldn't want to go there.
Exactly. No, it is absolutely perfect for anybody. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what kind of lifestyle you have. Anybody and everybody can do yoga nidra and benefit from it, because it really helps you first relax at a physical, mental, emotional level, and then it has the power to take you so much deeper into yourself, in a place where you're just being, like you described. That place, it has the power to do that.
Okay, I'll just, unless you, there's anything else you want to add about yoga nidra?
No, I think that's enough.
Summed it up.
Yeah, that summed it up, because we want people to go and experience it as well, because the more we talk about it, the more people will have expectations from it. I don't want anybody to have so many expectations either, because you're not going with the bag of expectations and ticking things off when you're doing this.
Yeah, I will also just say that not every time that's achievable either. There has been one time, only one though, out of all of the times I've practiced it, where so basically what happened is, when I was in England and I was staying at my brother's house, it wasn't ideal, I would say, to practice any type of yoga unless nobody was in the house, and I knew that they wouldn't be in the house for a long time. And I was about to practice yoga nidra online with you. You were teaching it. And I knew that my niece and my nephew, who are 8 and now 11, they were going to come home kind of any minute. And I didn't know what to do, because as soon as, I mean, it's their house and their kids, they'll come and run and be like, anti-vax, like, you know, they're not gonna kind of understand and respect that I'm doing yoga. Like, even if I say don't come in the room, oh, that gives them all the encouragement to want to knock, to peek. It was difficult to teach. I had to bribe them so that I could teach without their presence. And they did always ask me if they could join the class. I was thinking, oh, not really sure. That's not cute. Sure. Don't know if Yoga Con the Mind program needs you in it. It's cute. Inclusive, but not that inclusive. But yeah, so I was doing Yoga Nidra, and because I was really alert, because I knew they was going to come back. And the thing is, if you're disturbed in Yoga Nidra, I don't think it's the best thing. It can feel very strange to come out of that state. So I purposely, I suppose, very knowingly didn't let myself go into it, because I knew that they was going to come home, and they did. They did come home, and yes, they did kind of disrupt me. So that's why. So it's not to say that you're going to go into Yoga Nidra and have this really amazing experience. Just let yourself have the experience you're going to have. And that's the same with all yoga practices, don't you think?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you just go, and whatever it's going to be. Like, there's some days when I teach or practice and it's very fluid. And other times, especially as a woman in times of the month, there's other times when what I could do the day before is just not happening that day because my body's more stiff or whatever. It's different things happen on different days. So I would practice it, but I would not just practice it once and then decide how it feels for you. Do it more than once.
Exactly. Go with no expectations. Just go and just do it.
Mm.
Whether you're going somewhere or you're doing it at your own home through a YouTube video or something.
Okay, so somebody has asked, no, they've told us. So we asked if anybody had any questions or experiences they wanted to share. And I can't find all of them because it was 2 weeks ago. But one of them is that it helped me overcome long-term insomnia. Do you have any thoughts on insomnia and Yoga Nidra?
Absolutely, because basically, I mean, the kind of understanding I have of insomnia is not like a very basic understanding, not being able to sleep, having probably racing thoughts, restless body and all that. And what I would say is Yoga Nidra absolutely helps, because it's there to sort of provide you that relaxation that you need for your body and mind to go in a state of complete relaxation, to gain the energy that you would from a long sleep, to be in that restful state. And especially if you're guided into it, you're more likely to follow through. But when you're just, you know, waiting to fall asleep, that feels like sort of going on autopilot mode and just waiting for it to happen. But Yoga Nidra, you're guided into it. Your mind is, you know, brought into that state through certain visualizations, awareness and all that. So I think it can impact that a lot, or any other mental issue. I don't know what exact word to use, maybe issue, whether it's anxiety, whether it's depression. It's meant to help you cure all these things as well, because it helps you sort of tap into your subconscious mind. And I think I read this somewhere that whatever you tell your subconscious mind, whether it's negative or positive, it comes true. So because subconscious mind doesn't have that deciding factor of what's right, what's wrong for me, whatever you say to your subconscious mind, it happens. So if you tell yourself you're very anxious, you will be anxious. But in Yoga Nidra, if you are guided by somebody who understands your situation and can guide you into a place where they make you, you know, mentally repeat yourself that I'm calm, I'm relaxed, these sort of affirmations, that can help you, you know, change the way you are in general as well.
And this is exactly why Yoga Nidra is included in my program, Yoga Calm the Mind, as well, because Yoga Calm the Mind is for anybody who has, I mean, it depends. There's people there for all different reasons, but it's specifically designed for anybody who is undergoing a lot of stress, a lot of overwhelm, is feeling burnt out, is feeling overworked in their job, in their personal life, and most importantly, struggles with feelings of anxiety, whether that be like a very anxious person. A lot of people often come to me who are on medication, and it can also be people that are, I would say, low level anxiety. Whilst I understand it's still anxiety and it doesn't feel low level, strong kind of feelings of worry, So often people say, I'm a worrier, which I can, by the way, completely relate to. If we can just go on to the next question.
Yeah.
So does yoga nidra involve visualization, or how would you monitor a class of people who seem to be asleep or deep relaxation? Do I have the right type of yoga here?
I don't think you can really monitor who is actually visualizing and who is actually sleeping. I guess you can just say it a couple of times. Let's say you're guiding a yoga nidra. There are moments when you say, stay awake, try not to fall asleep. So you keep repeating that every few minutes that people are awake. If they're asleep, you can't do anything about it. It's not like a total waste. It's okay. Maybe next time they will be able to stay awake. So you can't monitor that at all, because how would you know who is actually visualizing?
So whilst you're meant to do yoga nidra for its purpose of the practice, so of course that would be to stay awake the whole time, if you are somebody that struggles with insomnia, or you're a new mum, I've worked with somebody who was a mum of two under 2 year olds, and she really benefited with yoga nidra to get some rest. And that doesn't mean she came to go to sleep, she didn't, but if she did fall asleep, I kind of was satisfied with that, because she needed it and she had that time put aside to be in almost a power nap, because it was under 45 minutes. She wouldn't fall asleep instantly, and she would, like me, she would come back around towards the end. And of course that's not the aim, that's not what we wanted to do there, but still she got something from it.
Yeah, it's a byproduct basically of like one of the benefits that you get.
Which is not a question here, but I've personally been asked this before, so I am sure that other people would appreciate the answer, is can you use it to go to sleep?
I would say if you're somebody who struggles to go to sleep, absolutely use it. I would say that. I think I suggested
yes.
You as well, yoga nidra.
We do have a little time. Sorry, we are running a little bit short on time today because I have a class very soon online. But yeah, so this is what I was kind of about to tell the story of earlier, but I didn't want to go off on a tangent. So when I did yoga nidra before, what I explained with Ayush in the nice room, when I came to Nepal to do my teacher training, our setting was in a jungle, and I didn't really think too much about that. I was just thinking how nice, the views are amazing. I didn't think anything more than that, which is good because I was an overthinker. And the first night that I got there was a spider. Honestly, it was a tarantula without fur. It was massive, big, like as big or bigger than my hand. It was absolutely massive. Let's not lie. It really was. I'm not exaggerating. The body was like an eyeball. Oh, it was horrific. And it was on my wall. And see, I did not have a phobia of spiders. I didn't like them. But I didn't have a phobia. Did I want to touch a tarantula? No. But if I saw one in a cage or something, would I freak out? Wouldn't like it, but I would kind of be okay. Now, not a chance. Not a chance at all. When I was in England, we went to a pet shop to get my nephew an axolotl. I know it's a side story, but there was a chance that they could have tarantulas because it was an exotic pet shop. I did not go in. I would not go in. I stayed in the car. So now I do have a phobia, and that's another story. But I couldn't sleep for about 3 or 4 nights after I saw the spider, because at first my theory was if it comes back, it's in my room and I'm asleep. Then my theory was if it comes back in the middle of the night and I go outside my door, there's more. So what do? I'd rather not know about it because I can't go outside. Who am I going to tell? Who's going to move it? I can't actually go and wake up. Ayushu was just my teacher then. I can't go and wake him up and ask him to come and move a spider. Plus, he had a pet spider in his room. So there was just no chance I'm going to go there. And then Ayush, again, professionally as a teacher, we didn't know each other as anything else then. He said to do yoga nidra, and he showed me a recording, sent me a recording. So I did that. And as I did the recording, it did put me in a place of being more soothed. And I would say my anxiety was extremely high for about 3 days because of the spider. And then I did go to sleep. The first, I think I was probably about 10 minutes into the recording, and I fell asleep and slept all night. And then I used that recording for a few nights after. And then I suppose I just kind of got used to, okay, there's not been another spider in my room since then, so it's going to be okay. but I use that to go to sleep. And if I hadn't have used that, I would have had high anxiety, I wouldn't have slept, and then I would have had all of the symptoms of being somebody who with anxiety and not sleeping, which no sleep with anxiety just makes everything 100 times worse. So it served its purpose. So if anybody else can relate to it, if they've got really high anxiety for something else and you're struggling to sleep, then I would use it, because that's what I did and it helped a lot.
Yeah, I would suggest it, absolutely.
So I think that's it. We do have...
I think we had one more question.
Yeah, I'm just going to try and find it because I did screenshot them. Yeah, okay. I did several yoga nidra where we count from 27. Is there a reason for this number?
I cannot think of any particular reason at the moment why. I guess it is just to sort of guide the awareness with the breath and to not let a mind fall asleep, because if we go to a number that's like, you know, 10, it's an even number, and we are usually, you know, when we are calculating things in a mind, we usually calculate with even numbers because it's usually easier. At least that's what I do. So I guess that's why they chose an odd number, so that the mind sort of stays awake because it's trying to, you know, keep up with that number.
So there may be a significance, but in short answer, don't know. Sorry.
Yeah.
But I mean, yeah, if there is a reason, I'm sure, like, go and find the answer, but that's not really the be all and end all. That's not too much significance in yoga nidra. It's not the purpose. It's not, if you're going to teach it, I mean, yeah, it's not, I'm not saying don't understand something that you're curious about, but it's not a big
deal. At the moment, that's what I think. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So before we finish, I would recommend everyone who's listening to this, please try yoga nidra, whether you try it with a teacher in person, or you try it online with an online class or through YouTube or something. Please do. It's really, really beneficial. And what I can do is, at the bottom of this episode, you can find a link to a yoga nidra recording that you can listen to, which will also give you an idea of how a good yoga nidra is.
But it's not guided by you.
It's not guided by me. It's guided by somebody who is a pioneer of yoga nidra.
Sometimes both of us individually offer yoga nidra online, but at the moment it's not an offering. So
yeah.
I mean, it can be if anybody's going to request it, but it's not a specific offering. But I do have it in my program as a recorded version and audio, and also live in the classes as well. So if you are interested in yoga nidra, I also do explain it as a practice in my theory class in the program, which is upcoming very soon. So if you want more information on that, then send me a message or an email. All the information's below. And if you have any questions about yoga nidra still, maybe it's provoked curiosity or a question, do feel free to ask us as well, because next week we will also be continuing this kind of series of talking about a specific yoga practice, and we'll invite you to ask questions, but we can also just answer some questions that we've, you know, just done the episode on for yoga nidra. So yeah, ask us questions if you want to, DM us, email us, whatever you want to do. And if you would like to get in on the conversation, then we'd love to have you over on our Facebook group or on Instagram if you're not following already. So the links to both of them will be down below. And if you'd like to work with me one-to-one or in some of my group classes, or you'd like to join my upcoming program, Yoga Calm the Mind, then all of the information for that will be linked below on my website.
And if you would like to work with me, whether it's one-to-one classes or online teacher trainings, then my website is linked below as well.
And we really appreciate all of your comments and reviews. It really does help us as well. So please don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave a review.
Yes, that would be very helpful.
Thank you.